Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 5, The Bible as a Textbook. The child's first textbook. The Bible should be the child's first textbook. From this book, parents are to give wise instruction. The Word of God is to be made the rule of the life. From it, the children are to learn that God is their Father, and from the beautiful lessons of His Word, they are to gain a knowledge of His character. Through the inculcation of its principles, they are to learn to do justice and judgment. A book of promises, blessings, and reproofs. The mother must keep her mind refreshed and stored with the promises and blessings of God's Word, and also the forbidden things, that when her children do wrong, she may present as a reproof the words of God and show them how they are grieving the Spirit of God. Teach them that the approbation and smiles of Jesus are of greater value than the praise or flattery or approval of the most wealthy, the most exalted, the most learned of earth. Lead them to Jesus day by day, lovingly, tenderly, earnestly. You must not allow anything to come between you and this great work. Its study builds character. The lessons of the Bible have a moral and religious influence on the character as they are brought into the practical life. Timothy learned and practiced these lessons. The great apostle often drew him out and questioned him in regard to scripture history. He showed him the necessity of shunning every evil way and told him that blessing would surely attend all who are faithful and true, giving them a faithful, noble manhood. A noble all-around manhood does not come by chance. It is the result of the molding process of character building in the early years of youth and a practice of the law of God in the home. God will bless the faithful efforts of all who teach their children as He has directed. It presents God's love as a pleasant theme. The children in every family are to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Evil propensities are to be controlled, evil tempers subdued, and the children are to be instructed that they are the Lord's property, bought with His own precious blood, and they cannot live a life of pleasure and vanity, have their own will and carry out their own ideas, and yet be numbered among the children of God. The children are to be instructed with kindness and patience. Let the parents teach them of the love of God in such a way that it will be a pleasant theme in the family circle. And let the church take upon them the responsibility of feeding the lambs as well as the sheep of the flock. Its stories bring assurance to the timid child. Only the sense of God's presence can banish the fear that for the timid child would make life a burden. Let him fix in his memory the promise, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." Psalm 34:7. Let him read that wonderful story of Elisha in the mountain city, and between him and the hosts of armed foemen, a mighty encircling band of heavenly angels. Let him read how Peter, in prison and condemned to death, God's angel appeared, how past the armed guards, the massive doors and great iron gateway with their bolts and bars, the angel led God's servant forth in safety. Let him read of that scene on the sea when to the tempest-tossed soldiers and sailors warned with labor and watching and long fasting, Paul the prisoner, on his way to trial and execution, spoke those grand words of comfort and hope, of courage and hope, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." In the faith of this promise, Paul assured his companions, "There shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." So it came to pass, because there was in that ship one man through whom God could work, the whole shipload of heathen soldiers and sailors was preserved. They escaped all safe to land, Acts 27:22-24 and 34 and 44. These things were not written merely that we might read and wonder, but that the same faith which wrought in God's servants of old might work in us in no less marked a manner than He wrought then will He work now wherever there are hearts of faith to be channels of His power. Be strong in faith and teach your children that we are all dependent upon God. Read to them the story of the four Hebrew children and impress their minds with a realization of the influence for good that was exerted in Daniel's time because of strict adherence to principle. Make the Bible lessons simple. The parents are to teach their children lessons from the Bible, making them so simple that they can be readily understood. Teach your children that the commandments of God must become the rule of their life. Circumstances may occur to separate them from the parents and from their homes, but the lessons of instruction given in childhood and youth will be a blessing to them throughout their lifetime.
Give me just a second. Give me just a second. My Bluetooth is not working. Give me just a second. My Bluetooth is not working.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through
Amen, amen. I'm back. My Bluetooth was, I believe the message had gone off, and that's why my Bluetooth was annoying. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come before you, Lord, to host this prayer line, Father, to give you praise and glory on this prayer line. So, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us on this prayer line, Lord, as you lead and guide us. Teach us thine holy word, Father. We ask in you, dear Father, to please fill us with the love of God, that Holy Spirit that shower us with a blessing. And, Lord, all those that join us, we ask that you please lead and guide them to the prayer line, Father, that the word of God may pierce their heart and that they may have joy and that they may have love in praising you and worshiping you. Thank you, Father, for this prayer line, and we ask that you bless this, continue to bless this prayer line and be with us on this prayer line as we call on your name and asking you, Lord Father, to help us and to lead and guide us, and that everything, every word that come from our mouth and our heart, that it would be your word, Father. We thank you ever so much for blessing us. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would please strengthen us and give us the words that we need to speak on this prayer line. We thank you. In your son, Yeshua's name, we do pray. Amen. And amen, brothers and sisters. I see Sister Powell have joined us already, so I was trying to get on and to start. So, Sister Power, I'm just going to open your line, but I'm going to read a scripture. Amen? Amen, Sister Power? Okay,
yes,
I'm going to read a scripture.
Amen. Amen. You hear
yes,
me?
Yes, yes. Yes, I can hear you. I want to thank the Lord for you and the word that you always sharing with everyone and for joining us on the prayer line. I'm reading from Exodus. Let me get it. I'm reading from Exodus. Okay. Well, first I'm reading from Deuteronomy, and I want to read the prophecy. And then I will, your line is open, and you can be able to speak. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter, I think it's verse 4, chapter 4. I'm sorry, verse 6. I'm gonna read verse 6. And it says chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 8. I will read. And it said, "Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou, thy sons, and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may prolong. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers had promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these are the words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and they shall talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thy lies down and when thy rises up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between thine eyes. I'm going to stop there. Now I just want to read a short prophecy. We're going to go back to Exodus, which were the commandments. The prophecies is Exodus chapter 20, and it's part of the precepts given in your Bible on page 105, and I will begin at precept given to guard the Decalogue. And these things I'm studying still. It says precept to guard the Decalogue in correspondence of continually transgression. The moral law was repeated in awful grandeur from Sinai. Christ gave to Moses religious precepts which were to govern everyday life. These statutes was explicit given to guard the Ten Commandments. They were not shadow type to pass away with the death of Christ. They were to be binding upon men in every age as long as time should last. These commands were enforced by the power of the moral law, clearly and definitely explained that law. And I'm going to just read this next one, and that would be it. Every specification is God's character, and that's the next paragraph there. It says, the God of heaven has placed a benediction upon them that keep the commandments of God. Shall we stand as a peculiar people of God, or shall we trample upon the law of God and say it is not binding? God might just as well have abolished himself. In the law, every specification is the character of the infinite God. I'm going to stop there, but you can continue reading all of this, and it will bring more out about God's word. So, Sister Powell, your line is already open. If you like to share or if you like to comment, you may do so. Amen. Powell, your line is open. I don't know if you can hear me.
You hear me, Sister Leona?
I can hear
Hello.
You now.
Welcome, Advent Light, brothers and sisters, my beloved. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. We are so thankful. We welcome you back on our line, my dear sister. We know you went on a mission, and God has brought you back safely. So we give God all the praise for a wonderful, wonderful travel, mercies that he have given unto you. And I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful to him. When I heard you this evening call and said, oh, Sister Powell, I'm going to Mandaline tonight. I said, praise God, I was on another meeting, so that's the reason why I didn't really stay too long with you on the phone. But I'm so thankful and grateful. And to let you know that Advent Light was still going on. We have wonderful brothers and sisters who join, share their testimony. We have new members. Oh, we have our dear sister Tamika, who is really doing missionary work by bringing other people, you know, friends on the line. And so one of them is Sister Sonia Thomas. And she came, Miriam, also Elizabeth, you know, came on the line. And we are so thankful, Brother Eli, also. And also we have Brother Udi reporting various reports about the store, and the workers are coming in to purchase and also to get Bible study, and there is still need. And we also have Brother Akin. He wasn't with us for two nights, but you know that the young elder have other arrangements, so he came back last Sunday night, and he was with us, and he's still in Daniel, you know, Daniel, the end part of Daniel to Daniel 12, you know, so he was with us. We also have great report of praises and projects that is going on. God have been blessing the evangelism by sharing the gospel message to others. Brother John, Sister Brenda came on praising God for what he has done and still learning and trusting God. So we have a wonderful time and also our early morning sisters meet. We have a few sisters, Sister Stephanie, and you know, and Sister Lynn, and those there. We met each morning.
Sister Collier,
you know, and give
your
praises.
Your phone is buffing, Sister Powell. Your phone is buffing and it's breaking up. So
okay,
please,
so you're not hearing?
Okay, I can hear you. I can hear you better now. Yeah.
Okay, so we just want to share a little and tell you what is going on. God is good. He is so great. And a while ago, I just take up my book, Perfection of Character, right? And that is a little I'm going to share. Because for us to enter into God's rest, we have to have the character of Christ, right? And to have
Amen.
The character of Christ, the perfect character of Christ. I just read this little part. You know, it is really amazing to me to know that God loves us so much that he wants to give us the character of Christ. And the question is, what is the perfection of character? We don't know, so let us see what it is. Just a few paragraphs. We're not going to start from the first. And he said, it is a much maligned concept which simply means obedience. Hear what it is? For us to have the perfection of Christ's character, it means we may say that it was a more, you know, more outstanding way in which we should be able to, you know, obtain Christ's character. But look how easy it said here. It said, what is the perfection of character? It is a much maligned concept which simply means obedience. So, brothers and sisters, for us to have God's character, he wants us to be obedient, and not only obedient to the law of God, through the law of God, through the enabling merits of Jesus Christ. Professed Christian who do not want to obey God's laws ridicule the idea as perfectionism, wanting to cling to their cherished sin, right? Cherished sin. They suffered and conviction of the Spirit to forsake them. Dealing that perfect obedience is merely a fanatic idea. For them, it is too great to sacrifice to forsake sin for their Lord. They would rather live with the self-deception that they can have both sin and salvation throughout their earthly life. But there are others who are quite content to cling to Jesus and do all that he asks in this holy word, in happy submission to their Savior, and by faith, in his enabling strength, they are putting away their sin. So I will stop there because I want other people to share. So we see, Lord, that the Lord is asking, is appealing, he is calling our people for us to put away sin. You know, sin is the endurance of our heart, soul, and sin is allowing us not to enter into the eternal rest. But God said, you know, through him, because we know he said the wages of sin is death, right? And he wants us to be obedient, every one of us, so that we can have that outstanding, perfect character of Christ. And the character of Christ is Christ's love, right? As he said in Corinthians 13, the love of Christ, you know, and he also said, love, joy, and peace, right? Those three in charity. And he told us that charity is the greatest of the love, joy, and peace. So God wants us to love him. And when we love him, we will be able to follow his command and to do it, total obedience. Our life will be surrendered for him fully. We will be the salt of the earth. We will be his representative, his ambassador, to carry out his word and his message. And his light will shine, or that extra light that will shine when Moses went up into the mount and had got the Decalogue from God, who used his own finger. And he wrote those Ten Commandments, and that is what God is saying. We have to be obedient to his law and his command. So I just want to thank God for his word, my dear sister, Sister Leela. I just want to thank him for all that he has been doing for myself, for my church family, my group, our group and the Advent Life family, the good news we have been hearing, how people have been, you know, encouraged by God's word and how they are joining, even though what we have seen with the crisis around us, that we know God said even in those midst of the crisis, he is there with us. So I pray that we will read his word, be obedient in everything, so that we can demonstrate his true character of love, so that we will able to finish the work, because we know that he is coming soon. I'm asking for prayer for my family members, prayer for the project, Lord, the health food store. We place it in your care, in God's care. Also the project for the children, Sister Leola Project in Louisiana. We present it to the Lord, asking the Lord to bless us, that one day, if it's even one day, you know, my prayer is that I would be at Louisiana, that I can be able to share the message to those there. And also I'm asking for prayer for my family, my sibling, my children, and grandchildren. And also to pray for us here. So this is what I have to say tonight. I will offer a short word of prayer, and then I will stop. All right? Kind and loving, righteous Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer. We want to thank you for your words of encouragement, that you have shown us that we can have your perfect character. And to have your perfect character means to be obedient to your law and your commandment. So, Lord, help us, Lord, as we gather here, that we will know that we have a dear, loving Father who is in the most holy sanctuary now, doing the last work, Lord, of blotting out sin, investigating our sin, turning over that book, and book, Lord, and we ask you to allow us, all of us who gather here, dear Lord, that our name will be written in that book of life. Bless this land, bless Sister Leola, the host tonight, and allow your children that they will come to share the wonderful blessings that you have given unto them. Keep us, Lord, because we cannot keep ourselves, and help us to trust you. We ask you to bless our family members, Sister Leola family, Sister Brenda family, Brother Rick family, Brother Eli family, Brother Yudi family, Sister Carlo family, Father, my family, Sister Stephanie family, Brother O'Neill family, and also the church family, Lord. We place them at your feet. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line.
Amen. And thank you, Sister Powell, for blessing each and every one of our families. So, sisters and brothers, as you heard, our sister prayed for the family, and she shared her word, how obedience brings to us the character of Christ. So, and we also asking that, and your line could be open. So we asking our brothers and sisters, if you like to share, press 1. And I want to thank you all for joining Advent Light Ministry, and that we are here all to worship and to glorify the Most High, because He is watching us. He sees what is in our heart. And so as we are here, the Holy Spirit join us. He say, where there's 2 or 3, He's in the midst. So let us give Him the glory and the praise. So we have another that press 1. Let us open the line. We have 518-744. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and it's good to hear your voice, Sister. It's been a long time.
Brother Rick, I don't know if I'm trying to see if that's my line or if it's the prayer line. That's buffering.
I don't know, yes, because it's bubbling up. It's not clear. It's not clear at all. Line too.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I can hear you guys. Okay, I can hear you now, Brother Rick.
Okay, can you hear me?
You hear me better.
Yes. Okay, all right. Good to hear your voice, Sister. It's been a long time, and been keeping you and Brother Ray in prayer, and also your son Jarvis and your whole family, Sister. I just, how is Jarvis doing?
Oh, I can tell you, brother. I went out on Wednesday to look for him. I did not see him. So I just say, well, let me just pass. I didn't go out looking for him, but I said, well, let me pass. So I passed by Thursday, and I saw him standing there, and I said, come see. And he came to me, and on his neck, he wearing a little dog tag. You know the dog tag? It says John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I say, praise God. I say, I see a change. I say, Lord, I'm asking you to continue. And guess what he pulled out his pocket? He put out the word of God. He's carrying the word. I say, son. I say,
amen.
I say, you have all this. Look, I said, you have all this, son. I said, you carrying the word of God. I said, are you reading it? And he just laughed. So I'm just keeping in prayer that the Lord would put up on his heart to read more. Yes. Go ahead, Brother Rick.
Oh, praise the Lord. Just wanted to ask for prayer for my son-in-law, Chad. He just had back surgery on Friday. He had gotten to the point where he could not even walk. He was losing feeling in his leg and in his foot. He was having such pain that he could not do anything. So Friday they took him in and they did surgery on his back. He had 2 bulging discs, and they were able to take care of them from what the physician said. And he has just got home a few hours ago from the hospital. He is not feeling real well, but praise the Lord, he is home, able to, he can walk around a little bit with a walker. I mean, he's a very young, strong man, you know, he's only like 47 years old, and he is a big guy, strong, and, you know, I just hate to see him like that, and I know he has been a real blessing in our church. He runs the PA, he is the head deacon, you know, taking care of many things that go on behind the scenes. And I know the Lord has been working with him, not only in his work, but also in his spiritual life too. We've all been studying together. So just pray for Chad and my daughter, Alicia, who is his wife. She is our school teacher at our school. And that's another thing, sister, I wanted to bring in prayer. Our church school at the Kingsbury Seventh-day Adventist Church has been trying to expand. And, you know, the board and the board members have taken that to the Lord. And the Lord has blessed with funds to expand the school, but we do not have a teacher yet. And as you know, it's school year will be starting soon. And if there is no teacher for the upper grades, they will have to turn a bunch of the older children away. And they will have to either go homeschool or go to public school. And none of us believe that God wants those children in public school. So we're praying for a teacher. We have one prospect who is an old friend of mine, just a very godly man. And we're hoping that the Lord has him in mind because he is sending his resume on Monday and he'll be considered, after that. So let's just pray for our school at Kingsbury that the Lord will continue to bless her. He is, sister, he has blessed way beyond our wildest dreams. We needed $43,000 to have another teacher come. And in 3 months' time, $43,000 was raised, which is a lot of money for a very small congregation. We have probably 40 members attending, and in that time, $43,000 was raised plus more. And so I have to believe that God is anxious to see the school grow and prosper, and many young people have been baptized just in this last year from the school, from the witness of the teacher and from the pastor has been going in and doing Bible studies. And, we've had 3, 4, 5 baptisms and more coming up. One in 2 weeks, one of our members' children, she is, 11 years old, and she is being baptized in 2 weeks. So we're just excited about that, but just keep that in prayer that God will continue to give us wisdom to know what to do and when to do it. Because, in our own strength, we will do the wrong thing and mess things up. And God has a better plan than all of us. So just want to pray for that and just continue to pray for my family. God has been so good to us. He has been guiding. He has been leading. He has been working. I just pray that, we will listen to him. Even sometimes he speaks and we don't want to listen. I don't want to listen all the time. And, I'm just praying that God will give me strength to, when I hear his voice, to say, yes, Lord, speak for your servant heareth, as Samuel did, when the Lord was calling him. So just keep my family in prayer. And, I've been keeping my brothers and sisters in prayer. It was good to hear Brother Eli earlier today at our meeting. We want to continue keeping all of our brothers and sisters in prayer. So thank you for opening my line. Just praising the Lord for his goodness today and every day, but especially today. Thank you.
Amen.
Brother Rick, I tell you, God is good. And we're going to lift those prayers up, Brother Rick.
Thank you.
You can hear me?
Yes.
We will lift those prayers up to the Lord, that the Lord will bless the school, because we do know that the education for the children to be in the church school is much better than to be in the public school.
Amen.
So
yes,
we do know that God is willing. So we will lift that up in prayer. And then we will also, Ashley and Alicia and all other prayers, your wife and all other prayers, we will lift that
thank
up.
You.
So thank you. Thank you once again, Brother Rick, for coming and sharing. Now we have another on here that we're going to open the line. That's 51850. We're opening your line. And you may speak. Amen. Give us your name and where you're calling.
Good evening. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York.
All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Every peace, divinest comfort, yeah, by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, chairs it wind in path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, bring my flight to realms of day. This my song to endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. It's my song to endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. I'm going to read Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 15. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 15. And it read, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall he call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised up prophets in Babylon. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and I just want to praise you, Lord, because all the way you lead me, O God. What have I to dread? Lord, I cannot doubt you. I just, wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Father, I just give myself to you. I'm asking you to do the leading, O God, because you is God and God alone, and there is no other God but you. So, Heavenly Father, take full control. Do your bidding and do your will. I just give everything to you. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. Whatever I need, you have provided, Lord. You are my friend. You are my best friend. You create me and you form me in this earth, oh God. And I'm here for a purpose. So, Heavenly Father, just help me to walk with you and to do the things that is pleasing in your eyes. Continue to bless me and to guide me and to lead me in the path of righteousness, Lord, and help me to do the best I can. Father, into your hand I leave everything. Into your hand I put everything, oh God. I'm asking you to take full control of everything. Help me not to look on no one, oh God, and look what they do, but Lord, to do my best and to do things that you would do, oh God, that is pleasing to you. Whenever I can help in any way I can, Lord, please, give me the strength to do. Help me not to look back and to look to no one for nothing, oh God, and to say nothing but God, just to do what the Holy Spirit leads me to do. Help me to be kind. Help me to be faithful, oh God. Help me to be sharing and help me to do the best so that your name will be glorified and praised. Heavenly Father, I just want to put each and every one on this prayer line into your hand, dear God. I'm asking you to be with us in a special way. And whatever we do
Let everything be done according to your will, O God. Lord, you see all the requests and you hear all the requests, O God. I put everything into your hand. Continue to bless, continue to guide, O God. Continue to sanctify, continue to cleanse, continue to open ways, continue to provide. And Lord Jesus, you do the bidding, God. Take full control. Have your way, Lord. Let your will be done. I ask of you to do from all of us what we cannot do for ourselves, because we are sinners, O God, and we need to be saved. So, Lord Jesus, help us to walk in your light and to do what we can do so that your name will be praised, dear God. Be it all over the world with each and every pastors, each and every deacons, and each and every one of the churches, Lord. Be with all the church members and be with all the church family, O God. I put each and every one into your hand. Help us to pray for each other, not only to pray for ourselves and our family and our friends, but to pray for each and every one, O God, because this thing is everywhere, and so many people are so confused, they are not praying, Lord. So I put each and every one into your hand. I'm asking you to rest your hand upon the sinner, O God, and to help them to draw closer to you. Heavenly Father, you take full control of what is going on in this world, because this world belongs to you, Lord, and all of us belong to you. And Lord, all of us is flesh and blood, and you know what our needs. So Lord, I'm asking you to supply it according to your riches in glory, dear God. I'm asking you to open doors, O God, and to let all sinners come to know you as God and Savior. Lord, help us to be faithful, help us to be kind, help us to be truthful. I'm asking you to heal the sick, O God, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, Lord, to open shelter for the homeless, dear Father, O God. Whatever we can do in any way and everywhere, O God, that is pleasing in your eyes, O God, help us just to leave ourselves to you. And you will control our mind and our thought, O God, and the Holy Spirit will teach us what to do. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have been doing in my life and what I can do and what I'm doing, dear Jesus, because, Lord, whatever I'm doing, I know you are not going to let me do things that you would not do. Help, continue to bless me, Lord, and continue to lead me and guide me and protect me and help me to do my best, dear God. I'm asking you to anoint each and every one of us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. And if there is any sickness in our body, oh God, I'm asking you to remove it, to rebuke it, and to destroy it, dear God. Father God, you hear the request that does come on the line. Oh God. Brother Rick, bring the request on the line to pray for Brother Chad. I put him into your hand, O God, with his family. I'm asking you, O God, to go right beside his bedside right now, along with all of his family, and to send your holy angels to control them and to anoint them, O God, and to bring them healing, O God. Consecrate them in a special way, dear God, so that your name may be glorified and your name may be praised. Lord, I put the school into your hand, O God. I'm asking you to open ways so that they can get teacher for the school, O God, and bless
us.
Because the teachers, oh, bless the teachers, bless the children, O God, because those schools are the best school for the children to go. For Heavenly Father, continue to open doors and continue to send your holy angel, O God, to provide for every need. Lord, you are the greatest physician, you are the sympathizing Jesus, and whatever you do, it is well done. Whatever you say, it is well said. Continue to do your will. Continue to take full control, dear God. Continue to lead, continue to guide, continue to protect, and continue to have your way. And help us, O God, not to get weary, but to do our best, bring honor and glory to your name. Continue to take full control of us. And whatever we do, O God, let it be done according to your will, I pray. And I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Thank you, my
amen.
Dear sister. I will call you later.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the prayers. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, my sister, for your loving words, prayers, and all that you have given to us on this prayer line. And I'm sure Brother Rick is grateful also to those prayers. And we are grateful
And we are brothers and sisters that here to worship together and fellowship. God loves this, so thank you so much. And brothers and sisters, we're going to continue. We have a few more that press one. And as we have 57505, we open in your line. We need brothers and sisters to be brief because Brother Akeem is on. And we're going to open up this line, but we're going to first go into prayer. So, Brother Eli, I need you to be brief. You can give you can go speak. Amen.
Amen. Hello, brothers and sisters. Hello, Sister Carla, Sister Miola, Sister Power, all of you on the prayer line. May God bless you. God is good. God is awesome. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer. Pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. And Sister Miola, pray for Brother Jehovah. And pray for Brother Javel, because Brother Javel needs a lot of prayer. Sister Miola, pray for Brother Javel because he have not treated me nice and treated me equal and treated me. He have not treated me respect. He don't show me respect, but please, please lift up Javel in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer. Pray for Sister Isenia. Lift up Sister Isenia in prayer. Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for Brother Isma. Sister Ebony. Lift up Sister Ebony in prayer. E-B-O-N. And Sister Miola, I go say to Brother Akeem James. Brother Akeem James, may God continue to bless you, Brother Akeem James, with your ministry, Brother Akeem James. What matter what you're going through, there is a God who will watch over you, my brother, my beautiful brothers and sisters. Have faith in the Lord because he is good. He is worthy to be praised. Brother, my brother, trust in the Lord, my brother Akeem James. Trust in the Lord because he is faithful. He's able. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings, Brother Akeem James. Yeah. Brother Akeem James, say, beloved brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord. Be obedient. Brothers and sisters, let's read Psalms 24. Sister Miola, don't forget to tell Sister Tamika to read Psalms 24 and do a word of prayer for Brother Javel. I don't know, can Sister Tamika
Amen.
Read Psalms 24? Tonight, can she read it, Sister Miola and Sister Powell? Amen.
Psalms 24. Amen.
Yeah,
Amen. Psalms 24, as he requests, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he that has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods, who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. And this is the generation of them that seek him and that seek thy face, O Jacob, Salem. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the kingdom of glory shall come in. Who is the kingdom of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift your heads, O ye gates, even lift of glory shall come in. Sorry, I missed one. Even lift up, ye everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Salem. So we just want to praise God for Brother Eli and his blessings and his praise. And he's glorified God. So let us begin to have our prayers. We're going to open up prayers. I will do a prayer, and then we will have Sister Power just to do another prayer for us. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come before you to bring your children before you, Father, as each and every one has
had given a request, Father, for prayers. And Lord, Father, first, Sister Powell asked for prayers for family and friends, and a special request for Sister Stephanie, Lord. And Lord, Father, a special request for Sophia, my friend, daughter. I pray, Father, that you, dear Lord, work in their lives and lead and guide them. Teach them, Father, what you would have them to do in their life and what you would have them to go. Oh, Father, I'm asking you to touch their heart and especially open up thine word that they may know you, Father. And also, Father, we lift up Brother Rick. Brother Rick, have a special request, Lord, Father, about the school, Lord. They need a teacher. Father, we pray, Father, that you send the best teacher there, Lord, that these children may have the wisdom of God and that they may be taught of the Lord and how to respect one another and how to love. And, Father, I'm asking that these children will hear from you, Father, and touch their heart that they may know you and be obedient to you, Father. So we asking these blessings upon these children. And, Father, we also lift up his wife, his daughter, Ashley and Alisa. I believe I said the name right. And even his son-in-law, Father, we ask you to touch his son-in-law, Father, to let him know that you love him and that you want to give him the blessing from on high, Lord, that he can receive you and accept your word. And, Father, we just ask that you would show him the way, Father, that he can be led to everlasting life with Christ, our Savior. And, Father, please touch his heart to let him know, and even his children, Father. Oh, Father, we just ask you to help your people that's struggling in this world, Lord, Father. And, Lord, Father, I'm not saying, Lord, Father, that we have it all right, but, Lord, we need you too here, Lord, Father. So we please ask you to strengthen us and lead and guide us as we do your will. Father, I pray for Sister Barnaby, Lord. Lord, as she's a prayer warrior for the prayer line and everyone that come on the prayer line, Father. And now, Lord, we lift her up to you, her family, and all, Father. We just ask that you continue to take care of her, she and her family, Father, and blessing them and keeping them, Father, to do your will, to continue to pray and to press on, Lord, as she's praying and asking you, Father, to help her, give her strength, and leading and guiding her. And, Father, we open up prayer for Sister Power, Lord, the prayer warrior, the prayer saint, as she would say. Lord, Father, I'm asking that you continue to bless her and keep her and helping her, Lord, in her mission and working for you, Father, to teach and also to help those that are in need, Lord, Father. Lord, you have used her, continue to use her, Lord, Father, to do your will, Lord, Father, because there's some people don't see what she see, the needed, Lord, those that in need, and some people pass by like the Levite, the those that pass by the man, but the good Samaritan came and picked him up and put him on his donkey and carried him in to a person to take care of him. So, Lord, please continue to work in her, Father, the blessing that you've given to her. And, Father, we also pray for Brother Eli, all these requests that Brother Eli have, Father. We ask him that you continue to help and strengthen him, Father, as he go out and speak to these brothers and sisters, Lord, to tell them all about you and to convert them and turn them to Christ and allow them to hear the voice of Christ speaking to them through Brother Eli. So, Father, as you speak through Brother Eli, let the people know that this is the sincerity. This is the word of God that people need to hear, because they take it for granted, Father, that Brother Eli don't know or whatever. But, Lord, He feels the Spirit of God, and he wants his brothers and sisters to be saved. So please give them a tented ear that they may know the Holy Spirit is there with them. And the Holy Spirit is not going to be with us always. So, Lord, help them to take heed. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we have so many more prayers, Father. Sister Carla, Lord, Father. Brother Udi, Brother O'Neill, Father, so many. Brother Rick, so many brothers and sisters, Lord. As I call so many names, Lord, I'm going to forget somebody. So, Lord, bless all my brothers and sisters. Tamika, I heard her name. Some other sisters that's on the prayer line, Father. So we lift them up to you. And now, Lord, we pray for Brother Akeem James, Lord. A minister unto you, Father. And, Lord, and lead him. Help him, Lord, and remind him of every word that need to speak to your people, and that he may be touched by your Holy Spirit, and the Spirit bring out the word that he need to speak to your people. So, Lord, give him guidance. Give him direction that what he need to speak. So, Lord, as you speak to him, Lord, thank you. We thank you, Father, for all these blessings that you bestow upon us. Now, Lord, as we going forward, we asking for the Holy Spirit to pour upon us tonight the word that we need to hear, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all this blessing that you have given to us. In the name of Yeshua, we do pray. Amen. Sister Powell, you can offer a prayer
okay.
once again.
Okay. O most righteous and eternal Father, again we linger a little longer at your feet to give you thanks and praise for all the various requests that reach up to you, dear Lord, in the most holy sanctuary. Father, you have listened to the name, and we have no other God to place our request to beside you. So we just want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. We lift up our dear sister Barnaby. Lord, continue to bless her. It seemed like today she came. I don't know. I miss her, Lord. I didn't hear the doorbell, dear Father, but I want to give you thanks for the blessing that she has brought, Lord Jesus, and carried, that you carry her and bring her back at home safely. So I want to thank you for her, Lord, how much she's doing, the missionary work that you have given unto her. And we ask you to continue to pour out your blessings upon her, and also bless her daughter here and her children in Jamaica, and also her grandchildren, dear Lord, and the work that she has been performing for you, even on this prayer line, the resources that she's bringing your word, songs of praise, and reading your word, and giving you praise for every one of us on this line. So we ask you for your protection towards her while she goes to work. And Lord, take her, Lord, back work and from work to home safely, and allow her, dear God, to know how much you love her and you care for her. So, Lord, we place her in your care. We also lift up our dear brother John and sister Brenda. Father, continue to bless them. Continue to keep them. Continue to allow their light to shine within them. And also tonight, dear Lord, as you have listened to the requests of Brother Rick, praying for the church, Lord, that they may get a teacher. And Lord, also for the finances, Lord, belongs to you, the silver and gold. So we place every situation in your care. Chad, Lord, you are the great physician. You are the healer, sympathizing Jesus. We're asking you, Lord, to touch him from the crown of his head in his healing process, dear Lord, and allow him to see you and to be obedient to your will. Also, his wife and his children, we place them in your care. Oh, dear brother Rick, Lord, give him the strength that he needs at this time. Also, his wife, Lord, and his children and grandchildren. Ashley, Lord, we want to give you all the praise that due to you. Lord, we lift up Sister Carla, dear Father, and also Sister Sister Tamiko, Lord, you know everything about her, dear Lord, and the urge that she has, Lord Jesus, in you and how she loves you. We ask you to strengthen her. And our dear brother Akin, Pastor Akin, we are so grateful, Lord, to see our young son, dear Lord, that God have blessed him, that he has finished, Lord, what you have given unto him so that he can minister. He was doing it before, Lord Jesus. He was official. And now, Lord, we ask you to cover him under your blood. Bless his mother and bless his father, Lord, and the other family members, and help us that we will always keep him in prayer. And as he present the message tonight, dear Lord, let the Holy Spirit work within him, and each one of us, dear Lord, will be blessed by his word. Bless us and keep us and guide us, Lord. And where you are now, we present all these requests to you. We are asking you to hear them accord and answer them according to your will. We want to thank you and our other brothers and sisters. We place them to you in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Power. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the line for our speaker tonight, which is Brother Akin James, and he will bring the message. Amen.
All right, amen, amen.
Amen. Brother Akin, your line is open.
All right. Thank you so much. And this evening, we're going to continue in the vein of Daniel 12, but more so segueing into another subject, and that is what we need, what we would need in order to stand in the times ahead. And so I just wanted to thank you for your prayers. Also, thank you, Brother Eli, for your prayers as well and your encouragement. And as we go into this subject, let's just have a word of prayer as we move forward. Father, strengthen our hearts and our minds. Illuminate our hearts and our minds by the Holy Spirit. And draw us ever closer to you. Strengthen us to become all that you would have us to be. And empower us, we pray. Forgive me of my sins and use me as an instrumentality to communicate your words, your mind, your heart. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
In Daniel chapter 12, we've been covering the scenes of the final events. We've come to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, and we've covered the aspect of the closing of probation. And the reality that that probationary time period closes, not because God all of a sudden gets up and says, or Jesus, Michael stands up and says, ready or not, here I come. I don't care if you're ready or not. No, friends, God is not like that. The reason that Michael stands up, in other words, to reign, is because the kingdom is made up. In other words, those who in that final generation will choose to stand with him, they have sealed themselves into that decision by habits of life, by the different situations of life, by different traits of character that they have settled themselves into, and even above and beyond that, allowing themselves to be settled into the truth. The result is their cases are then decided because they have allowed themselves to be sealed into a state of righteousness and holiness. On the other hand, you have the wicked, who, as a result of their habits, the repetition of different actions that are evil, forming their habits and ultimately determining their eternal destiny, their character and eternal destiny, they seal themselves, and, or in other words, settle themselves not into truth but into apostasy, into rebellion. Two sealings, one in righteousness and one in rebellion, one in wickedness. Two settlings, one settling into the truth, the other settling into a lie, while believing fully that it is the truth, while knowing in their heart of hearts that it is not, because the message of salvation goes forth to the entire world before this sealing takes place. I would even dare to say that it is as a result of the proclamation of the final messages that God has given to us to give to the world, that those final messages is what finally polarizes the world, either into the group that says, no, I don't want this message, I hate the message, and those who proclaim it, and I have animosity towards them because they are such a, their holy lives are such a reproach to my way of living. And so I hate that, and they settle themselves into that hate, the Spirit of God being withdrawn from them. On the other hand, you have those whom the Spirit of God is sealing into the message. And as a result, their lives bear fruit to that message. And so this is powerful what we're seeing here. These two settlings or two sealings, one into truth, the other into error, because of the decisions of men and women and children, Jesus Christ sees when that final tipping point comes to the point where there is no point of return. And in respect to that decision, mankind allowing themselves either to be sealed with the seal of the living God or to be sealed with the mark of the beast by their own choice, Jesus now, in respect to that choice, he finally says it is done. So probationary time closes, not necessarily because God gets tired, but rather, friends, because God says the limit has been reached in the sense that everyone has made their decision for life or death, for truth or for error, for holiness or for filthiness of the flesh. And so in light of those decisions, that now probation is closed. There's no more pushing to get the wicked to come to righteousness, because they seal themselves into wickedness to such a degree that no matter what I do, inspiration says it's almost like every quiver, every arrow in God's quiver is used up. Everything that he could use to impress the mind, despite the fact of being the infinite God, is used up. And now, in light of that, having beforehand seen the full revelation of his glory in his people, what more could Jehovah do? And so now, as a result of rejecting it, with every rejection of the truth, their hearts become more and more hardened until it is established in a lie. And so Jesus stands up, and it says in Revelation, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was." So after Michael stands up, from the moment Michael stands up, we know already the time of trouble has begun, in the sense of the little time of trouble. Hence, people are dying at the end of Daniel chapter 11. Remember, the king of the north goes forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. That's persecution language. Many people will die for their faith. But on the other hand, when all cases are decided, not one saint dies for their faith. Because right now, at that moment, there's no more need for blood to be shed, that it might be a seed or it might convict another person's heart. Why? Because the wicked have finally made up their minds. And so it says there will be a time of trouble following Michael standing up, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And that's speaking of that deliverance, not just in terms of victory over sin, not just in that the church becomes the church triumphant, but in the sense, friends, that the next great event that is to happen is the second advent, the second coming. Verse 2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Now look at this. Two resurrections are here covered. It says some to everlasting life, and that's what all the saints across the ages, along with the saints that are living at the end of time, will receive at Jesus' coming, everlasting life. And then it says some to shame and everlasting contempt. That is in reference to two major resurrections that will take place. The overall resurrection of the wicked after the millennium, but also the resurrection of those who played a part in crucifying Jesus. Hence we read, if you hold your fingers in Daniel 12, hence we read in Revelation, actually we'll go to Matthew chapter 26 first. Matthew chapter 26 states this. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus before the people, before the rulers of the Jewish nation, they asked him, they said in verse 64, but before we get to verse 64, it says in verse 62, And the high priest arose and said unto him, Caiaphas, said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee. In other words, I appeal to you by the living God, whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Friends, when was that to happen? That was going to happen at the second coming. And friends, it would also happen after the millennium. The people who were involved in crucifying Christ and bringing him before Pilate that he might be crucified, they would see him coming the second time. Hence we read in Revelation chapter 1, this is what it says there. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it states, Jesus speaking, or John speaking, concerning the second coming of Christ, Behold, Jesus, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that, whoa, those who were involved in getting Christ crucified, from the leaders of the Jewish nation to the soldiers who probably put the nail in his hands and feet and put the crown of thorns on his brow. Friends, these people will be raised at the second coming to shame, to see Jesus coming on the clouds of glory, and to experience that shame of realizing that we had crucified the Son of God, an everlasting contempt. Now, this happens also again after the millennium, when all the wicked are resurrected. So, friends, this is amazing what we're looking at here. We're seeing that this is covering the resurrection of life at the second coming, the resurrection of the just. And in a small sense, what God will do is he will resurrect specifically those who were involved in the crucifixion of Christ, that they may behold him coming as the Prince of Life and as the Son of God. But then after, on a wider level, on a greater level, after the millennium, all of the wicked, even those who pierced Jesus Christ, will be raised. That means there will be some people who will experience two major resurrections, but three deaths. The scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law who were involved in the crucifixion of Christ, along with these soldiers, they die, but they rise to behold Christ coming on the clouds of glory. And then they die as Christ leaves the earth, because there's no one left alive on earth when Christ leaves the earth with the saints. So they die the first time, they die the second time, and then after the millennium, they're raised with the rest of the wicked, being wicked themselves. And what happens? Friends, they die the final death, along with the rest of the wicked. So this is going to be an intense time that takes place for these individuals. Now, one of the things that I wanted to focus in on is verse 3 points out, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So it's very interesting what we're seeing here. This is powerful because verse 3 is going backward. It's saying, in light of this time, the time of these events delineated in verses 40 to 45 of Daniel 11, and also the coming close of probation. Blessed is that individual who will shine, that's wise, and will shine as the brightness of the firmament. So what is the purpose of the shining? It says, and they that turn many to righteousness as the what? Stars forever and ever. What is this pointing out to us? That in light of the events that we are looking at, our work is to now give to the world the message of salvation, to give to the world the everlasting gospel. Because notice it says here, it says, and they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Where shining, because as the light emanates from us, shining as the brightness of the firmament and shining as the stars, which gives brightness to the firmament, along with the sun and the moon, which reflects the light of the sun, we are to be lights in the world for the sake of what? It says here that that light might turn many to righteousness. That's what verse 3 says. Now let's break this down. Let's break this down. I want to find this text for us. This is a powerful text. But before we go there, let's check out Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. All right? I'm going to look at this text for you guys. There it is. But go with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. And we know this text, but we're looking at it now in light of these prophecies in Daniel 11. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. It states there, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a descendant, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." So this branch that would come out of David's line, called the Lord our righteousness. Now over in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 28 onward, this is what it says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 28 onward. It says, "And base things of the world, and things which are despised, have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Now what is Christ Jesus made unto us? Wisdom. But secondly, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So in other words, what is the Bible showing us? And why has Jesus made these things unto us? It's to show us, friends, our utter helplessness to save ourselves. Hence in verse 31 it says that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." We cannot glory in self, because that which is needed for salvation, only Christ possesses and only Christ is. One of those things we need is righteousness. And Christ is the Lord our righteousness. Many will turn as we shine as the brightness of the firmament. That light that emanates from us will turn many to righteousness. But who is righteousness according to the Bible? It's not just turning them to right doing. It is turning them to a person who, when living within them, enables them to do right. In other words, we're turning people, the final generation of saints, living in harmony, living in light, with these coming events, they will turn many to righteousness, to the stars forever and ever. They will shine like the stars, and that light will draw people to Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. They will turn, so when we go back here to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, let's read it again, but now in light of what we found out. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to Jesus as the stars forever and ever." Friends, this is powerful. Because what I want us to notice here is the brightness that emanates from us, that causes men to be drawn to Jesus Christ. We're going to see what it is. We're going to look at this evening. As we look at this subject, I want us to go, this light, this brightness that shines forth from us. It says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks about this light, by the way. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. It states here, Jesus speaking, he states, you, he's speaking to the people and specifically to his disciples. And a multitude of people are listening to him as he's speaking to his disciples. He says here, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Giveth light unto all that are in the house. Then look at what he says here. What is this light? Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you see that? Friends, what this is revealing here is that while our works cannot save us, good works can lead men and women to him who does save. While good works, our good works in and of itself cannot save us, the reason that good works are necessary is because by those works, God is glorified in the lives of other men and women. People are, even though good works don't save us, it leads others to him who saves. Therefore, the fruit that comes forth in the life is that which results in men being led to him who is their salvation. The light that emanates from the saints is good works. In other words, it is by the good works that we do in our lives. This is why there's a statement in the spirit of prophecy that goes as follows, paraphrasing. She says that we must seek to crowd into our day all the good works that we can. Not because we're trying to say, okay, oh man, I'm trying to earn heaven. But no, friends, it is by our works outwardly that men can tell of the conversion that has taken place inwardly. And it is as we do those works, as we live for others, we ourselves are impacted to an even deeper degree. Some say, I don't feel like it. Some people may say, well, you know, there's people who do good works, but they're still lost. It's true. But friends, when we realize why we're doing good works, to win others, disinterested benevolence, not expecting anything in return, not even expecting a thank you, as much as many of us will want that. I remember sometimes as I'm going to a certain place and I go into a store, I get what I need and I exit the store. Or sometimes I'm even going into the store and I open the door to somebody who may be right behind me and I say, hey, you can go ahead. There are times, friend, when that person has gone ahead or ahead of me and there was no thank you. There was no appreciation shown. And I was tempted many times to become frustrated, to become angry. How come this person couldn't say a simple thank you? And God was showing me, he had to reveal to me, Akeem, you're not doing this for thanks. You're not doing this so that every time you do it, you're going to receive appreciation. There are times when people, even when you do good to them, they will ignore you. They will show no appreciation. It's almost like they're dead to the good that you have done to them. Friends, we are not doing good in order to receive something from it. Even though it would be nice to, but friends, we are doing good because this is how Jesus is. This is how he is, and we are being called to exemplify his character. Therefore, the light of good works, do you see what it is? It is the fruit of the outworking, or it is the outworking of the life of Christ. And friends, there are times when even Christ does things for us today and we forget to thank him. He's like the man who stands at the door and opens it and we walk right past into the building and never say any word of appreciation. But friends, I tell you the truth, that life is still in us. We are still alive, still walking. Lack of appreciation, but yet still thriving in Jesus. Ever blessing us, ever good to us is our Savior. Even in the times when we forget to show appreciation. We go to bed at night and we don't even think many times, some of us, not saying all of us, but there are times that have gone by when we don't even show appreciation that, wow, Lord, you preserved me throughout this day. Some of us, some people, for granted
they made it through the day. They don't realize that that thing is a miracle. They look at everything as, well, you know, this is just a natural process. Even Christians think like that, that I'm still here. But friends, for us to go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning is because we have been upheld. We have been sustained. And so, friends, Christ is calling us. And as a result of going through those situations where we are not, where we don't receive appreciation, friends, you know what it does? The Holy Spirit is then able to bring to our minds that, wow, have I been like this to Jesus? And as a result, our relationship with Christ grows deeper, because then we learn to show him gratitude for all that he has done, because we have entered into his sufferings of doing good and receiving no appreciation for it. Disinterested benevolence, doing good, not to receive praise or compliments, although to bring a sense of value and encouragement, but knowing that even if we don't receive it, we have entered into the work of our Lord. And so this is the work that God is calling us to do. This work now, the fruit now of the life of Jesus, of this life of disinterested benevolence, it draws people. Because friends, while there may be some who may say, well, you know what, I don't have to thank this guy, it's just the opening of a door. Friends, I tell you, there are many who will see that, wow, not only was this person willing to open the door for me, they were willing to help me in rough times. They were willing to be a listening ear in times when I was struggling, times when I just needed someone to talk to and not necessarily receive advice on what to do. And many Christians are like that. I realized even in my own life, God had to teach me that. That there are times when the greatest comfort is not necessarily knowing what to say when a person is going through a hardship, but rather just to be a listening ear, to be present with them at that moment, and to be a source of comfort and company. And friends, you will be surprised what that can do. As Christians, training ourselves for arguments and defense of the faith, which is important, many times we have gone so far into that that we know not when to just be silent and to just listen and to be a witness in just listening. So all of these things, friends, it's powerful, because this revelation of good works in the life is what draws people. Inspiration says in Desire of Ages, page 307, true character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates rather from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, doing good, the principles of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. Our profession of faith may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is our practice of an indwelling Savior. It is manifested in good works, a life that does good, piety, the consistent life. The holy conversation, which at times in the King James meant lifestyle, the unswerving integrity, the active, listen, benevolent spirit, the godly example, these are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. Do you see that? It's good works, the consistent life, the holy living conversation, the unswerving integrity. In other words, fidelity to the truth. The active, benevolent spirit. In other words, doing good to others. The godly example. In other words, living in harmony with the word of truth. These are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. And why do all these things happen in the light? Because Christ has been enshrined within. And I tell you the truth, friends, as a person then steps out, even while maybe not having wanting a deeper relationship with God, and they say, wow, I want that deeper relationship. As they go for doing good, entering into living like Jesus, friends, the relationship will then deepen. Sometimes it takes going forth. Sometimes it's not just the sitting down and studying of the word that gives us that deeper relationship. Sometimes it's the going forth and doing something for someone else. that causes us to enter into a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship with Christ. Now, all of this, how does this happen? This is actually summarized because you realize this is the fruit, this is the outward life, the life of piety because of an indwelling Christ. Now, how is that? This is called something else in Scripture. In Scripture, what we just read about here, that light, that outward light that shines forth to the world because of an indwelling Savior, is called the fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, that which now is shown outwardly, because that's what the fruit is, right? As a fruit hangs on a tree, it is nourished as the nourishment flows through the branches from the tree to the actual fruit. But as the fruit is nourished, it grows in its size. It comes forth outwardly. We may not be able to see the aspects of how it is nourished. That's an inward aspect. But we are able to know that it's being nourished. Why? Because the fruit is continually grown until it ripens and it can be taken down for eating. Friends, this is powerful. It's the outward manifestation of an indwelling Savior. And we know this text very well. This is found in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is what it says here in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the outward working thing, the reality that he dwells in the heart, the fruit, in other words, the outward manifestation that the Spirit dwells within, is the outward manifestation of love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, we talked about that, benevolence, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law. The outward manifestation that the Spirit dwells within, the fruit that the Spirit dwells within our hearts, friends, that we grow in love each day for others, joy, which is more than just happiness, for happiness is a feeling. Joy is a principle of ever remaining calm and looking to Jesus and being composed even in the midst of hardships. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, in other words, being patient, suffering long with someone else that may irk us, that may get under our skin, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the light. It is the character of God shining forth in the life by sincere piety. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It is the same as Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. But it is because, friends, Christ has shone his light upon our hearts. Because Christ dwells within by the Holy Spirit, the light shines forth in the life. Why? It must be our daily prayer, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Because it is as the Holy Spirit is poured out that the final demonstration of Revelation 18 takes place, which takes place parallel with Daniel 11, verses 44 onward, the tidings out of the east and the north. These are news. This is news, friends, that is coming forth from the very lives of the saints, not just from their lips. They become more kind in their disposition, in their countenance. They lack that judgmental nature, even though they denounce the sins of Babylon. But you remember, as we've touched on Revelation 18 many times, you remember before the denunciation against Babylon, there is a revelation of the cross. The glory of God is lifted up. The self-sacrificing principle manifested on Calvary is demonstrated in the lives of the saints. People see that, whoa, these people are helping us, and they're not even expecting anything in return. They're coming to us and doing medical missionary work, helping us with our help, helping us in our daily lives, helping us with things that we may need to do, and they're not seeking praise. These people, I wonder what else they have to say. And when they come to us and they ask us, what else do you have to say to us? What else can we learn? Because we've seen that what you do, this love that you're manifesting to us, it works. And it produces peace in the life. It produces patience in the life. What else do you have for us? here's what we have for you. Babylon is fallen. The systems that you are in is filled with demonic forces. You got to get out of there. And friends, you know what they will do? They will come right out. Hence, the king of the north, losing those who were once part of his kingdom, will go out with great fury to destroy many. Friends, it is as a result of the revelation of love, the cross, that self-sacrificing principle of love demonstrated in our lives as the light of the very life of Jesus Christ. People will come, and souls will make their final decisions for or against the Savior, who will bring about the end of all things. Christ Object Lessons, page 68, states, as you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love, and labor for others, you will grow and bring forth fruit. That's the life of piety. The graces of the Spirit will ripen in your character. Your faith will increase. Your convictions will deepen. Your love will be made perfect. More and more you will reflect what? The likeness of Christ in all that is pure, noble, and lovely. This is what God desires to do. This is the light that will shine as the brightness of the firmament, is how men will be wise in winning souls. Because this is what it says, and this shows you why they win souls. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, because it says, they that shall be wise shall what? They shall shine as the brightness of the stars. Now the question is, or the brightness of the firmament. The question is, what does it mean to be wise? Friends, we are told in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And one who is wise wins souls. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. In other words, the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. In other words, those who win souls shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And their brightness, which is that light that is emanating from them, the very character of Jesus Christ, a character that labors for others, that not only tries to tell them the word immediately, but does a work among them, ministers to them, shows them the self-sacrificing principle of the cross in a life of disinterested benevolence, doing good, not seeking anything in return. Friends, as this is done, people will stand in wonder. Because as we work and we live out that life, friends, it will be attended by power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The miracles of God would attend us. And as we stand in power before the people will now be drawn to that light that they are seeing in our lives, the very life of Christ. For Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. The question is, the light of whose life? Christ is the life that we will gain. Christ is the life. Christ's life is the thing that we will gain and be able to reflect. He shall have the light of my life, Christ is saying. For Christ's life is a light illuminating the minds of men concerning the love of God. So as his life is now replicated in ours, as we reflect that perfect life of disinterested benevolence, the people will be drawn by that. As we mingle with others, not just mingling with those we like, but mingling with those that society hates, mingling with the outcast, mingling with Christ, mingled with sinners. Many love to emphasize that Christ did not sin, and this is true. But friends, he definitely mingled with sinners. The very people in whose acts he did not partake, he was always among them, seeking to draw them to himself. There were places that, of course, he avoided. But friends, he was not a hermit. He was not a monk. He spent time among the very people that were in complete apostasy, people who had been deceived. He spent time among them, won their trust as he mingled with them, and then as he gained their confidence, he bid them, follow me. Follow me. And this is our work, friends, to ask God to be at work within us and then to go forth trusting that he is at work within us. And as we go forth to do good works to others, to serve them, to see the hungry and to feed them, to look at the person who may be suffering and seek in some way, shape, or form to bring relief, to some sense of relief. Maybe it might be small. But friends, as we seek to crowd into our day all the good works that we can, I assure you, our characters will be humbled, our pride will be humbled, and we will become more like Jesus in turn. And though the day may have been hard in labor, in living for others, whether it be at our work, whether it be at church, whether it be in the streets, what will happen is while the work may be intense, it will bring the utmost satisfaction. This is my prayer for each and every one of us, that we will shine as the brightness of the firmament, that we will shine with the light of the Son of God, his own life, a life of perfect piety. As we close, Father in heaven, thank you so much that we have this privilege in these last days of living a life that will glorify you, that will reflect the very life that you lived in this world as the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We need the Holy Spirit, for without him, how can we live a holy life? How can we even do good? For any good that we do that was truly good without selfish motives, it only can come from you. And so live out this life within us. O Jesus, King of Kings, let thy Shekinah glory shine forth from within. Give us a life of piety. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem James, for bringing us this message. And Brother Akeem James, I just would like to read a spirit of prophecy, the life of a perfect man. It says, our Savior took up the truth relationship of human being as the Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God. In order to know how to behave ourselves circumspectively, we must follow where Christ leads the way. For 30 years, he lived the life of a perfect man, meeting the high standard of perfection. Letter 69, 1897. And brothers and sisters, I ask that the Lord help me to be that perfect daughter of God. And I also pray that for each and every one. So brothers and sisters, we just want to ask, is there anyone else that would like to share? I believe Brother O'Neill, either he had a question or he'd like to share. So let us open this line as Brother Akeem just wait and minute there to see if anyone have a question. Let me just open the line, 631-522, your line, 552, your line is open.
Pleasant good evening, everyone. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. Thank you, Brother Akeem James, for that beautiful presentation. In light of what you were sharing, I was reading the last day event from all that you have shared. It's similar to all that I was listening. And these are the messages that we are sharing these last days of Earth history to tell people exactly what is happening and how we should live as a people in the closing, days of Earth history. And I want to thank you for sharing these words of encouragement, these words of profound truth of how God has been sharing with you to share with us, and I just ask that we continue praying for your ministry, because God has use you wonderfully for this presentation, and thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for just giving Brother Akeem, you know, the thanks and praise that God have used him. So, brothers and sisters, if there's anyone else would like to ask a question or want to share, giving you a few minutes, let's say a few seconds to ask, and then we will close. If there's anyone, you would have to take yourself off the host queue and put yourself back on. If I don't see no one, if there's no one, we're going to close. Okay, just give me a second, Brother Akeem. Someone has pressed one. Okay, we have 272-770. Your line is open. You like to share or speak to Brother Akeem?
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Leola. God bless you. Hello, everyone, all my beautiful brothers and sisters on the prayer line. God bless you all. Thank you so much, Brother James, for the reading. And Daniel, God bless you as well and your family. I just would like to read, I would like to sing, rather, in the hymnal song 580, This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All throughout the night, I'm gonna let it shine. All throughout the night, I'm gonna let it shine. All throughout the night, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Thank you so much, dear brothers and sisters. God bless you all abundantly. May the Lord bless all of your families and friends and your children and your great-grandchildren. May he pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you and continue to bless you all more abundantly. Keep you safe and well in the palm of his precious hand. I thank you all, and I leave in the precious Lord, Savior name, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen and amen. Have a blessed evening. Thank you so much again, everyone. God bless.
Amen. I want to thank you, sister. What sister is this? Who is this? Sister.
Oh, me.
Sister,
no,
what is your name?
Tamiko. Yes.
Oh, okay. Tamiko, I'm sorry.
Well, that's
thank
okay.
you, Sister Tamiko. I do know you. Thank you. We want to thank Sister Tamiko. Brothers and sisters, she's on the prayer line with us, so we thank the Lord for her. And also, we want to thank Brother O'Neill for his comments and all the brothers and sisters. Brother Akeem James brought that beautiful message to us tonight. We just give God the praise and honor and glory because everything is due to him. Give it to him. So once again, we pray that you all be blessed throughout the night and have a peaceful and a restful sleep. So God be with you all until we meet again. Amen. Tamika sung the song, and we're going to let that be the end of it. Amen. God bless, and you all be safe.